A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show that takes unsolved true mysteries and cocktails, shakes them up together in a shaker, and pours it directly into your ears. With me, as always, is the fantastic Suze Kempner.
Hey, Miss Dude, huh?
And the amazing Chris Stokes.
Stephanie Dawn.
And I'm Suze Miles.
Just gone.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good. Right.
Yeah.
Good, thanks.
What, since I last saw you?
It's been a yeah.
while. What?
It's our second record of the night.
That's right.
You can tell because if you are on our Patreon, patreon.com/mysteryontherocks, you can watch these episodes now.
Yes.
And that means that you will see that we are all wearing the same outfits.
Yes, the same clothes.
Not for a month in a row. Spring break.
Yep. Spring break.
Susan's come as Lara Croft. You've worn that before and I've gone, that's exactly like, that's Lara Croft's top.
With the tank controls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that gorilla thing you put in the chat. That was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Low poly animals.
Yeah. Oh, man, low poly animals is such a funny sight. It's Have so you seen good. The Daytona Grand Prix seagull?
No.
It's just like a white, vaguely 3DV and it's creepy. It's like going... There's no face, it's just like...
My favourite is when they have racing games and they have the crowd are just like 2D cutouts. And they're just
yes.
like... And Who? Sometimes, some games, they jump up and down, they go like...
Was it you guys I was talking to where we were talking about... Who was I with when we were talking about crowds on... No, it was with my Americans. We were talking about 16-bit crowds and you just see them looping. Like,
oh, yeah.
And you're like, there's that one again. There's
that. Oh, it's that... Yeah, they've just...
It was, yeah, we were talking about that.
Sports games were great, weren't they?
Oh,
but when they were a little bit unrealistic.
Yes.
They
had like one element that was realistic.
Yeah, I've said this before where it's like FIFA games. It used to be like, oh, you need that little circle underneath the
yeah.
team.
Yeah.
So you
get
like, and they do that now when they do replays.
Yeah. Yes.
So like it used to be that FIFA games would try and replicate watching football on TV.
Yeah.
And now football on TV replicates
the other way around.
FIFA
it's
games.
Fucking
it's
mad.
Nuts.
I do miss that little fucking circle. Oh, there it is, little circle on the guy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
good.
What about FIFA 94 on the Mega Drive? When you scored a goal, you could hold down one button and it would go, goal!
Oh, yeah! You had to time it right, didn't you?
Well, no, it just was when you scored, you hold that down, and as long as you were holding it down, it'd be going, goal!
Oh, amazing.
And then as you let go, goal!
Oh.
There was a Formula One game that Murray Walker actually did the...
Murray Walker and Martin Brundle, and only things Martin Brundle would say were, yes, Murray.
Yeah.
Murray Formula Walker 197. Would say,
this young man really is a superlative driver. And that would happen like on a loop.
It was Formula 197. Yeah. Did you have that as well then?
Yeah.
Why did you have that game?
I don't know. Oh, I know why. Because Formula 1 was like a ritual on a Sunday afternoon
really?
in the house. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then when we got PS1.
Yeah.
Not that it was called that then. It was just called PlayStation.
PSX.
But when we had when we had that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a Formula 1 game because then it was like.
I remember we got was it World Cup 98? World Cup.
It was FIFA 98, which I think had World Cup.
What was the World Cup in that?
Yeah, France 98.
Yeah, it was 98. Yeah. And then they had the Chumbawamba as a theme song.
Yes! Woohoo! The song too.
So good.
That was on the, if you paused FIFA 98,
yeah.
It was like, I got my head shaved. But it had the whole song. And I used to sometimes pause it just listen
to the whole song.
Yeah.
Because I remember that one had two, I don't remember the actual names. I think it was like Des Lynam or something like that.
Lynam, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Was one of the commentators.
Is he dead?
No.
Ooh, no, he's not.
He's retired.
Oh.
He did countdown for like 3 weeks.
Did he? He was just like, I don't like it. So over to you.
I'm pretty sure he was the first replacement for Richard Whiteley. And
maybe.
He didn't last very long, and then it became Des O'Connor. Des O'Connor's dead.
He's dead.
Maybe that's where Des Lynam left. Des Lynam is 80 later this year.
Oh, so younger than I thought, actually.
He retired. Let me find out when he retired. Maybe he's like, you know, Gene Hackman retired from acting.
And he's 90,
like,
yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, how is he? And then they finally, about a year ago, they were like, do you want to know how Gene Hackman lives his life? And it's just him, like, cycling around the village where he lives. He's having the best time ever. Yeah.
He's having a great old time. We watched, oh, shit. We watched, like, a great 90s thriller with Gene Hackman in it. Gene Hackman and, is it Runaway Jury? With, fucking...
Runaway Jury? It's a jury on a train, like, what?
The Rural Juror. it's, what is it? John Cusack.
Oh, no.
And
I've heard of Runaway Jury.
Yeah.
In 2013, Lynam endorsed UKIP, revealing that he voted for the party in local elections that year.
Okay, forget.
Forget him. He's gone.
Oh, God.
Is it Runaway Jury? I'm just going to quickly check if it is Runaway Jury.
Shall I get a drink on the go?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
go on.
Yeah, make us a drink, Chris.
Last week, obviously, we'd just had a Thai dinner.
Yeah. Oh, still full.
And we had our cocktails from there. This time, as with subsequent episodes, we're going to be making them.
Yes.
But this is the first time we're together for a long time. So occasionally we'll have made a cocktail on an episode.
Yeah.
And want to try the other one.
Like, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So this is one that you said you both wanted to
try. I really wanted to try this one.
So I made some, again, rhubarb and rosemary shrub.
Oh,
so this is going to be, we're going to make rosemary's toddler.
I like this.
That's good. I've been looking forward to trying this cocktail.
So what you need is... oh, Suze, it's right there. Could you pass me on
the gin?
The gin. I want that as well.
You want that as well? It was a spice gin.
It's a spice gin.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. So Gene Hackman, yeah, Runaway Jury. And he's, it is like in classic 90s thing where they're like, basically they have this court case and he's trying to set it up because basically he picks the jury to make sure that the case goes in favor of the client.
I see.
So the client has bought him to make a jury so that they win the case, essentially.
Right.
But he's in that classic Gene Hackman kind of like, I want that man on my jury. Oh, it's such a classic. It's actually early 2000s, not 90s, as I previously thought.
Yeah, but it can have like 90s energy.
Yes.
And so that's it must have been one of his very last films.
Yeah, 2003.
Because Heartbreakers is 2001.
Oh, Royal Tenenbaums is 2001. Is it?
Yeah.
That's
among
his life. I love Royal Tenenbaums so much. It's in my top 10 films of all time. Masood, you've got to see it.
I haven't seen
genuinely,
it.
Genuinely,
I only saw
it
like 20 years ago when it came out. But I haven't
seen it. We should all watch Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
So that's
the sort of thing they show at the Prince
So that's
Charles.
The gin.
Yeah.
There's 2 ounces of gin.
And then it's 1 ounce of the rhubarb and rhubarb and rosemary shrub, yeah.
Oh, wow. Very nice. And you've made this yourself.
What's that?
You made this yourself.
You have no hair on your hands.
I know. I'm a very hairless man.
That's not true.
yeah.
You said your face.
Oh, yeah.
State of it. I've got more hair on my hands than a suit. Look.
I'm very, very... I've got
a tiny
bit
there. Oh, you got a little bit there.
A little bit there.
Aw. Like a little baby.
And then also... Yes. The last time I made this was just simple syrup, but I've actually made rhubarb and rosemary syrup this time.
Which I think that looks fucking delicious.
So we're going to have a couple of dashes of... rhubarb and hibiscus.
Hello, ooh. Bitter Union, which is what our podcast is called.
Hey.
It's not true.
Citation needed, bitch. No, I've put a lot in there because obviously I'm tripling up.
Yes.
Normally you only need
obviously
two dashes.
I'm tripping balls.
Do you want to smell
ooh,
before
yeah,
I shake?
Hello. Yes, please.
Do you want to sniff before I shake?
Thank you, baby. That's
nice.
Good. Yeah,
that
that's
smells
good.
Real nice.
That smells real good, baby.
Masood. Do you want to do the honours?
Oh.
He does.
Or not.
Yeah. No, you do it. This
you're in the...
Right.
You're,
no.
It's my drink, but you're in the...
Masood's shy.
But you're in the you're in the middle.
Oh, all right then.
I'm just afraid. And also, like, he's better at it than I am, surely. Yeah. There's rhythm there that I just can't have.
But then, occasionally, I lose it and I have to get it back.
Oh, do you sometimes like... Oh,
yeah.
I'm starting
like...
Hang on.
I just got
to... Yeah, you got to measure it equally.
Yeah, don't be funny. Oh, look at it. It looks great, Chris.
Tell them how you make a shrub.
A shrub. So that is...
which you can use to make mocktails, right? Because there's no alcohol. But
yeah.
So it's like you take a vinegar. And so, like, rhubarb, like, you'd like rhubarb and vinegar, essentially. And you kind of, like, heat it up gently with some sugar. Isn't it? You did it with sugar?
So far, so jam.
So my, that's not how I made this shrub.
How did you do
this? This shrub, it was quite convoluted. I had to, you pulse the rhubarb and the rosemary and the sugar in a blender.
Yeah.
And then you leave it for 48 hours.
Oh, so you left that part for ages.
Okay. Yeah, and then you strain off the juice.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you mix the juice with the vinegar.
Oh, because I just put it all together in
oh.
in a thing. I think that's how I did one right. of them. Yeah, but that's how I did okay. one a shrub. But yeah, essentially huh? it's...
So this is Rosemary's Toddler.
Rosemary's Toddler.
I hope you like it.
Cheers, kids.
Cheers. Ooh. Oh, that's very nice.
I do like it.
Good, I'm glad.
That's really
yum,
nice.
Yum, 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 yum.
Essentially, it's vinegar, sugar, and the shrub kind of ingredient of your choice. But right. yeah, I think blending it probably makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
And then straight, and then like leaving that for a while, and then...
Do you heat up the vinegar then? Because like heating it up is obviously how you make the syrup.
Yeah.
But what does the vinegar do when you heat it up? What is that?
I think, maybe I'm thinking of something else actually. I think, because I remember leaving it in my... This was also the time when I was fermenting a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, and when you were doing your dad hobby.
I was, yeah, exactly.
Making plum leather.
Plum leather. And so I was, there's a lot of crossover in that time where I'm like, I was leaving a lot of things in vacuum sealed bags and not remembering what they were.
And you're like,
oh, Jesus.
Is that a dead
snail? Is there brown and gloopy? Yeah. I don't know.
And open it up and be like, fuck.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that was a turd.
And this,
that was just a turd.
Yeah,
I got really, made boom boom.
This one's for the flies.
I got really drunk, shat in a vacuum sealable bag, and then just vacuum sealed it.
You're like, Sarah will find this funny.
This will be a really good prank on whoever finds this. Oh, it wasn't meant to be me.
Rosemary shrub, eh?
Oh, I'll prank myself. I hate this.
This is
oh my god.
It's slightly different from when I made it before, and I think that's because there's more rhubarb in it.
It's nice.
But that's really nice. Don't let that be a stranger. It's really good.
Don't let that be a stranger.
Don't let that rhubarb be a stranger. Don't be a stranger.
Never can say goodbye, boy.
Yeah, I am enjoying it a second time, yeah.
It is really nice.
I'm enjoying this.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to join us to watch us on Patreon.
Yes, that's right. Patreon.com/mysteryontherocks. You can find, this. All sorts of amazing content, including...
Getting all of these videos.
Get the videos.
You also get the episodes early.
Yes,
episodes
right.
early. Second tier, you get outtakes that you're not going to get on the regular
bonus
podcast.
Bonus episodes. Crossword, I'm going to make this happen.
And then on the top tier, you... Get fucking stuff.
Yeah.
T-shirt, mug.
Mug.
Poster, hoodie.
Hoodie. Fucking all that. Yes, so do join that.
Yeah, and you join us in our Geopolitics, War and Espionage season.
Yes.
Welcome.
Last week we did The Lost Cosmonauts.
Mm-hmm.
We're now in
Where
the 60s,
go?
By the way.
Oh.
Welcome to the 60s. Oh. Go, 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 go. Name that musical.
Hairspray?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Look at this boy.
Wow. Pretending you don't
know.
You're
going to
say Hairspray?
He said in his head, he was going, don't say it too quick.
Does it?
Yeah.
Just stall. Just. Oh my. What have you got for us today, Chris?
We're in the 60s.
Yes.
We're deep into the Cold War. Today is the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, there's a lot happening. We got the space race happening. We got the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is a big one.
Which,
I think Reagan's around for this.
He's not president.
No, he's not president.
But he's like
circling the drain of toxic presidential power.
By that point, it's a good question. By that point, had he given up acting?
I think so.
I think he had, yeah. I think he had.
Shall I look
on,
it up on
yeah,
my phone?
You do it.
On
yeah,
presidency.
You do it.
Yeah, you do it. What year is it?
The Cuban Missile Crisis.
I'm just going to type
literally,
the Cuban Missile Crisis.
If you the official date is 13 days within 1962. However,
wow.
It feels like it lasted for a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
But I guess like the threat of nuclear annihilation ain't going to...
It's always ever present in all of the Cold War. But these 13 days were like the...
As I understand it, wasn't it because there was a chance that a Russian... missile base could have been stationed in Cuba, which was like...
Yes, yeah, that's it. Yeah, so basically it's like, right, nukes on our doorstep. Mm. Who's the actor in the film with Kevin Costner who always plays that character? Like, he basically... I think he plays Kennedy's brother, but he's not... I have to find it. But yeah, I just for some reason, I'm just thinking of that actor.
My phone just did something weird.
13 Days. Yeah, the 2000 film, which is based... The film 13 Days, which is based on those specific...
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, 16th to 29th of October, 1962.
No, all right, forget it. Nothing's coming up.
No?
I thought he was around going like, I've got an opinion. That's it.
Stephen
Will.
Oh, yeah.
He always plays a political person in fucking everything. Yes, so...
Have I got that right? It was that it was basically Russians could have had some of their nukes on Cuba, which was like dangerously close.
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah. That's what they were worried about.
So it became like, it wasn't just America, and it became an international crisis.
Yes.
Because American deployments of missiles in Italy and Turkey were matched by Soviet deployments of similar ballistic missiles in Cuba.
So this also does kind of lead into the space race thing on a partial level, because basically what's happening now is like both Russia and America are like, you know, sizing up they're building up their nuclear arsenals.
And this period of the Cuban Missile Crisis is still to this day considered to be the closest the world came to nuclear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up.
That's nuts.
Hey, P.S.
I'll the Doomsday it. Clock was around by this point, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think it was, yeah.
Was it? Or was it created after this?
I guess I'll have to look it up, because I think it's fascinating. I find the idea of a doomsday clock a bit chilling.
We are very close to doomsday, aren't we?
I know, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's 20 seconds.
I like it really, actually. You know when a kid is sort of like wanting to win a race?
Yeah.
And they go, okay, we're going three. One, two, two and a half.
Oh, yes.
So 2¾.
Yeah.
And like they draw that out. The doomsday clock seems to be doing that, whereby it's 1 minute to midnight.
Yeah.
It's now 30 seconds to midnight.
Like, yeah.
No. I don't like it. We're fucked, aren't we? Anyway, maintained since 1947.
Yeah, so...
Oh.
I mean, the clock is a metaphor.
So it was after...
Yeah, of course it is.
The clock's original setting in 1947 was 7 minutes to midnight. It's been set backward 8 times. That's good. And forward 16 times. Ah, shit. For a total of 24. The farthest from midnight being 17 minutes in 1991. The nearest being 100 seconds from 2020 to the present.
I know.
Oh, we're a minute and a half plus 10 seconds away from midnight.
Can we go back to 1991? That felt like a lot.
What was happening in 1991?
The dissolution of the Soviet Union. That's why it went to 17 minutes.
And Scorsese's Cape Fear.
Yes. That's me in every cinema.
Yeah,
watching a fucking violent film. Yeah. I mean, I understand he's mentally deranged and it's funny, but does he have to smoke?
Come on, let's go. No, what's your problem, Charles? Scorsese's a funny fuck, man.
We're glossing over a little bit, which is that Sue says the closest the Doomsday Clock has been to midnight is currently.
Is now.
The Cuban Missile Crisis happened while the Doomsday Clock was a thing.
When it was 2 minutes to midnight. My phone told me.
But I think also the context of the closer to midnight changes according to the period it's in. Like, at that time, 2 minutes to midnight still seems like, I mean, that's only 20 seconds away from where it is right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's still pretty fucking close.
Yeah, but that's easier to fix, isn't it? Climate change.
Now. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Oh, God, what the fuck are we going to do?
Yeah, we fine.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Let's keep podcasting.
I definitely have the possibly unhealthy notion of just like, it'll be fine. It's like the majority of my life.
Sometimes I'm quite...
Do you know why? It's because you've got a kid.
Ah.
You have to think it's going to be fine.
That's true.
Me and Suze are like...
I've got no kids, absolutely no prospect. Like, if I don't get pregnant in the next 6 months, we're fucked. For kids.
I was going to say, like... If you don't get pregnant in the next 6 months, mankind is doomed.
Sorry, I'm going to go and do it now. See you later. Oh, man. I don't see.
Success?
And so, we're close to 2 minutes to midnight.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if we are talking like not just war, which is what we're in, Cold War, geopolitics as well. Mm. I mean, this is like physical geography, like the proximity of Cuba to the United States.
Yes.
Oh.
Then what an escalation.
Because at the time, the range of nuclear weapons was not as far, obviously, as it is now.
No.
So you had to start, like, claiming that you had a place to launch. It's like, that's a big fucking move.
Oh.
That's slapping your dick on the table being like, go.
Like, yeah, like, well, exactly. One of those gel wrist rests for...
Yeah. Right.
And with...
Did he bring the rest with him? He brought the rest with him.
He brought the rest with him.
With Fat Man and Little Boy dropping on... Hiroshima and Nagasaki, like, people saw the devastation wreaked by nuclear weapons, and then that was 1945.
15 years later, they're going like, ah,
yeah,
it's
not that long.
It's like time? 2005.
Time, gentlemen, yeah.
Whoa,
it's like it's like 2007 to now.
No, because it was this is 1962.
1962. All right.
Yeah.
2005 to now, so it's the first series of extras.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's Daniel Craig's announcement as James Bond.
Whoa. Oh! Got that.
Snip.
Masood's like, don't worry.
This, people will be watching this going, why is this episode 3 minutes long?
They barely mentioned the mystery.
But there isn't one. You have to do the Cuban Missile Crisis if you're charting the Cold War.
Absolutely, yeah.
And do you know what? I don't know enough about it. I don't know about these 12 days. I thought the Cuban Missile Crisis was
13.
Just... 13! Sorry! Oh my God. The 13th day was like, they just had a bit of a party.
Yeah.
What happened? Like, day 13, they were like, day 14, nah, we're all right.
You know what? We're not going to fucking bomb
it. It's fine.
They chilled on the 13th
day. Chilled on Sunday.
Found the missiles on.
I find it like an interesting parallel, especially as like we were just flippant and said, oh, the doomsday clock is no closer than to midnight than it's ever been,
yeah,
including this.
Yeah.
This is, I know you said that the threat of nuclear war loomed over the Cold War as a whole, and it did up until this point.
Yeah.
But this is when I think it really kicked in, because when it got that close and people thought this is what's going to happen, that's why schools got given drills.
Yes.
Duck and cover.
And then with the generation that grew up in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and they were told, you know, we lived under the threat of nuclear war, and now, like, younger people got frightened about the escalation of Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, what if it leads to nuclear war, you know? And certainly there was one, what was it, I think you said it, Suze, there was somebody, an expert, that said, oh yeah, I don't think it's likely.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible.
Yeah, yes. don't dismiss it out of hand, because it's not impossible. Yeah.
Yes.
So, if somebody heard that happening and they'd never, this is the closest we've come to nuclear war in their lifetime, the idea that people that lived through the 60s, the 70s and the 80s not understanding that blows my mind.
Fucking hell.
Rather than going, oh yeah, no, we had this, we remember it, it'll be alright, don't worry.
Yeah.
Instead of that, it's like, well, we did. It was worse when we were alive.
It's like,
and I'm not saying that I think that nuclear war is going to happen and I'm worried about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm worried about it as a concept, but like, it's not, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not sitting here frightened that the nukes are going to start dropping.
No.
But the people that are, the people that lived through this in the past should have some sympathy.
I think, you know, absolutely. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that always really winds me up, because it's just like,
it's exactly the same energy as, we used to find our porn in hedges. It's like,
and what a horrible time that was. Don't you want to be able to have it at your fucking fingertips?
Those of you that said we had to find porn in hedges, you've fucking watched porn online.
You probably haven't
even paid for it, you filthy little thieves.
Plenty of websites.
And you didn't pay for that fucking porn in the hedge either.
Stole
it from a fucking shrub.
You've never paid for porn, you dirty bastard.
You disgust me.
You're filthy pigs.
You disgust me.
Disgusting
peace.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I learned about the Cuban Missile Crisis as a thing from Red Dwarf.
Really?
From the Turnout episode?
Kennedy episode, yeah.
Amazing.
I think that might have been the first
and
time.
And what I really liked about that
episode is very smart, and I wish it was funnier.
A lot of people don't like that episode.
I said what I said. And I don't feel like it's Red Dwarf. I think it would have made an amazing, weird film. Yeah,
I actually, you're right, it's not funny all the way through, but there are some fucking really classic.
I think it's clever as hell.
The laugh that people get when they realise they're sending Kennedy back in time to shoot himself.
Yeah.
Like, that is drip-fed in the script and the scene so well.
Yes.
That it does I
think it's masterfully written, and I think they could have done an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Should have been the red.
And then there's another bit as well where, because Crichton's lost his... They've switched heads, so he's got no protocol.
Yeah.
He's got no protocol commands. And so he's like, go and find us some food. And he brings them the dead guy that they found out.
Oh, yeah.
They have no idea that they're eating the dead guy.
Who's playing Kennedy in that?
A guy called John or Michael Shannon, I think.
Is it Michael Shannon?
No, it's not Michael Shannon.
I was like, that's amazing. Oh, right.
But he's a good Kennedy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
You want me to assassinate myself?
That is so good.
But yeah, because in that, there's the alternate history of what happened, because Kennedy escapes. They save Kennedy by accident.
Yes.
Yeah.
By knocking Harvey Oswald out the window.
Yes.
And then they keep copying themselves in the building because they keep trying to go back
and
stop it again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my God. Right. Yeah, it is such genius sci-fi.
And they end up on each floor at once. Like, we can't go back down to the 7th because we're on the 3rd now. We need a second gunman over there.
Yeah, that's right.
But in that, the alternate history kind of makes sense because Kennedy was still around. His affairs were exposed.
Yes.
He was impeached.
Yes.
And then he was sent to prison because he shared a mistress with Sam Giancana.
Yeah.
So that all of this comes to light. J. Edgar Hoover becomes president, and he kind of allows the installation of the Russian missile base.
So good.
Oh, it's so good. I wish it was funny.
And they go back to Dallas, and everyone's dead. Is that because a nuke went off in?
No, no, they fled the city.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah,
so major cities on that.
Anyone?
On
a little bit of toasted pineapple spiced rum.
Yes.
I like that we're having chasers in this episode.
This is good, yeah.
When we were all together in the studio, we used to have two cocktails. And now we're having one cocktail and
sometimes,
a chaser drink.
Sometimes I'd have a third.
No, I remember that episode quite vividly. Because I think that was among the very few episodes of Red Dwarf I'd seen. But then also one of the first things I found out about the Missile Crisis as well. So
when I say I learned about it from Red Dwarf, it was appointment telly. Also, that was the first episode of Series 7 of Red Dwarf. It hadn't been on for 4 years.
That's it. So, I was waiting for that for an eternity.
And because,
even though...
Yeah, you, like,
because I'm young.
You were like 8 until 12.
Yeah.
That's a long old time.
We are now a Red Dwarf stan podcast.
I feel like we've definitely evolved. But
we miss our prizes.
It's so gently we've evolved with that. I can't enjoy it.
Ganymede and Titan.
You're serving around. They're in that place in the whole of...
Cuban Missile Crisis.
How delicious.
It's lovely. No real mystery there.
Yeah.
But it's too big a thing to ignore when you're doing the...
It happened, kids. 2 minutes to midnight.
So what... So Russia basically goes, right, they throw their dicks on the table and go, right, we're putting a base down in... down in Yoli, Cuba. And America's like, we don't like that.
Let's go back to something Masood said a little bit earlier. In response to the presence of American missiles in... Italy and Turkey, which is closer to Russia than the States.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's across the Atlantic, same landmass, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, in response to that, Khrushchev agreed to Cuba's request to place nuclear missiles on the island to deter a future invasion. So that's what I meant about the proximity of Russian missiles.
Yes,
to the States.
Right.
Obviously caused panic.
Yeah. I feel like Castro's just like, yeah, it'll piss him off,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So, the agreement was reached during a secret meeting between Castro and Khrushchev in July 1962, and then they actually started building the missile facilities that summer.
Shit!
So then it's in October that the missile crisis happened.
So they have a secret meeting, Khrushchev and Castro, and they're bring it down. They build the base.
At the time, US state elections, the elections were underway, and the White House denied charges for months that it was ignoring dangerous Soviet missiles only 90 miles from Florida.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, yeah. And if it's under 100 miles, it's evocative. You know what it's like when you're under 100 miles from your destination.
It's 100 miles to Leicester.
Wow.
That's not far.
So the missile preparations, they were confirmed when a spy plane produced clear photographic evidence of ballistic missile facilities on Cuba.
Right.
So this was reported to Kennedy, who was president by this point.
Yeah.
He convened a meeting of 9 members of the National Security Council and 5 other key advisors in a group that became known as the Executive Committee of the National Security Council, XCOM.
XCOM.
Hello.
During this meeting, he was originally advised to carry out an airstrike on Cuban soil.
He was advised to?
Shit.
In order to compromise Soviet missile supplies.
That's a fucking terrible idea.
Followed by an invasion of Cuba.
Oh, bloody Jesus hell. Christ. Overkill much. Yeah. Literally.
That's fucking insane.
After careful consideration, Kennedy chose a less aggressive course of action in order to avoid a declaration of war.
I instead will bang my mistress.
somebody get me Marilyn. Where is she? She's in the meeting, sir. She's writing her little red notebook.
So after consultation, he ordered a naval quarantine to prevent further missiles from reaching Cuba. And by using the term quarantine, this is why I guess Kennedy was a good statesman.
Okay.
Or could have grown into be a brilliant one. He used the word quarantine rather than blockade.
Oh, so he meant blockade.
Well, a blockade is an act of war by legal definition.
Oh, right, shit. Okay.
By using the term quarantine, he basically just sidestepped declaring war by choosing a different word.
Holy Jesus. Shit, man.
Christ. I think we'll...
was good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Many flaws, obviously, as a human, but and I think Kennedy was pretty good.
The US was then able to avoid the implications of war.
Right.
And then it announced it would not permit offensive weapons to be delivered to Cuba and demanded that the weapons already in Cuba be dismantled and returned to the Soviet Union. There were tense negotiations, which is why this crisis happened.
Sure.
An agreement was reached between Kennedy and Khrushchev. Publicly, the Soviets would dismantle their offensive weapons in Cuba, return to the Soviet Union,
yeah,
subject to UN.
Just dismantle this offensive. I mean, that one looks like a dick. Yeah. Come on, guys. Just come on.
It's what do you call that one? Big boy. Do you know what came out in 1962? Dr. Strangelove.
Hey! Oh, yeah. You can't fight in here. This is the war room. That's a good line.
It is a good line. Did George C. Scott really dislike the film? Because I feel like it is such a brilliant performance from him.
That's it. This is like when people say, oh, Jeremy Strong doesn't see Kendall as a funny character. Therefore, he thinks he's serious as Kendall. Like, yeah, like No, he takes the character seriously,
yes,
the same as the character takes himself seriously. He knows when he's being funny.
Yeah, he has to. Elter the OG wouldn't work.
Oh, my
absolutely
God.
He has
he's
to.
He's not
know
doing it. That going, this is actually good.
No.
Jeremy Strong's not a fucking idiot.
He knows. Totally, you're right. Yeah, so I think it's like Georgie's got new, and he's like, yeah.
Family therapy. There's no way he's doing that.
His opening as Kendall is him singing along to, is rapping along to the Beastie Boys, and then, but you hear him with the track going, yeah, and then you hear him with the track off with his headphones going, he sounds like a moron. Yeah.
And also,
when he fucks up
that first negotiation on the phone.
Oh yeah.
When he's running to get to the board meeting.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like he is playing it as comedy.
He knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy Strong knows what he is doing. They wouldn't have cast him otherwise.
Yeah. Otherwise.
This podcast is serious, though.
Oh yeah, we take this very seriously.
100%.
We're a serious true crime podcast that gets all of our facts right, and we are not here to have fun.
No, zero fun.
So the negotiations were tense.
Yes.
An agreement was reached. Publicly, they dismantled their weapons and returned to the Soviet Union, subject to UN verification, in exchange for a public declaration from the US that it would dismantle all of its Jupiter MRBMs.
Right.
Which were then the missiles that had been deployed to Turkey and Italy. There has been debate on whether or not Italy was included in this agreement, but certainly the ones in Turkey were. And while the Soviets dismantled their missiles, some Soviet bombers remained in Cuba. and then the United States kept the naval quarantine in place until November the 20th, 1962.
Okay.
The blockade formally ended on November the 20th because all offensive missiles and bombers had been withdrawn from Cuba by that point. The negotiations between the US and the USSR pointed out that the necessity of a quick, clear and direct communication line between the two superpowers needed to be in place. So as a result, the Moscow-Washington hotline was established.
Oh, they gave each of them a nice red phone.
They called it the nuclear hotline.
Yeah. That's what they
it's really funny. It's like the the Batman logo for... Oh,
the Batman phone, yeah.
Oh, no, I see the logo. What's the fucking insurance company? Direct Line.
Oh, on wheels.
They're like, there you go, Mr. Kennedy. He's like, hello?
In my head, it's a Khrushchev and a young Putin dressed up as...
Putin as Robin. He'd have been like... He'd have been like 12.
Have you seen Putin recently? So, Will Hodgson today. He was
All of the Poe Wallop stuff that's all in Cyrillic.
Yeah. I'll find the Will Hodgson tweet from earlier. It was really...
Is it the one where he looks quite fat and like he's got no teeth?
Well, no. Putin basically looks like... At the moment, like, he's clearly had loads of... He's on loads of progesterone steroids and possibly filler. And it's made his face look like...
Oh, it's that one. Yeah, that's the photo, yeah.
He's become his own garbage pail kid, this fucker has.
Yeah, he does look really like...
He looks terrible!
Yeah,
I saw that.
State of him, his eyes are like...
He looks, he looks like a nana that's shouting bingo.
Yeah. Out! Reen, seen that girl over there? She's forgotten her skirt.
The nuclear hotline and the negotiations immediately following this.
Yeah.
They did reduce tensions for a bit, but then both powers decided to start expanding their nuclear arsenals again anyway.
Yeah. I imagine late at night one of them would get home drunk, get to the White House drunk or to the Kremlin drunk and just start phoning each other and just like spouting shit down the line.
Yeah, it's the nuclear hotline.
Yeah.
Khrushchev and Kennedy. Are you awake?
I want to tell you, mate, I came on my wife. She was, I don't know what she was doing. I was...
Which song that got to number two in the UK charts features Khrushchev and Kennedy?
It is a Queen song.
Yeah.
Called Killer Queen.
Yeah!
I did not know they're in the Killer Queen song.
Oh, it's got loads of references to the Cold War.
Oh! Yeah. Alright, I thought you meant like actual samples of them talking.
No! That would have been great. It's just a lyric.
Because like, I'm pretty sure then We Didn't Start the Fire would also feature them or something.
For a second, you know what I mean? Also thought that's what they were talking about on the phone. Like, hey, quickly, Kennedy, which number two song on UK Hot List feature you and me? Which one?
I think I don't think there's more to talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis other than it brought the world very close to nuclear war.
Yes.
Oh, it must have been terrifying.
It's a focal point in the Cold War.
Yeah.
So we can't gloss over
it. I feel like it's definitely like there are tent poles or markers in the Cold War. That is a big old shiny one.
It's probably like the heftiest bit. Have I told you about my awful first boyfriend? I told him that, like, oh, you know, when I was 17, I said there was a period in history where one country had a load of nuclear weapons pointed at one and the other one, and it was all just, you know, who was going to blink first. I remember telling him about that, and he shook his head and went, if only I had been there to push that button.
So he was a... Oh, wow.
What a freak.
Yeah.
This was 2001.
Wow.
Mate. Calm the fuck down.
That's mad.
But he was like, yeah, that was a cool thing to say. Like, yeah, sure it was, you freak. He dumped me. Day before my 18th birthday. Welcome to adulthood. Kaboom!
So, well into the 60s, well into the Cold War.
Yeah.
Making ground.
Yeah.
Almost 50 years from when we started this
series. Fucking hell.
Both in terms of this and... In actual terms,
yeah.
Can you believe we're still we're less than 50 years away from the death of Rasputin? 1962, like, so that's the equivalent of like when Elvis died for us.
Fuck.
Today, Elvis
so
died.
Yeah, it's 40. He died in 1916. So it's 46.
Yeah, 46 years for then. Yeah, Elvis died 45 years ago.
Yeah, so this is the equivalent of it being like Rasputin died in 1976. Yeah. The Cuban Missile Crisis is happening today.
That's nuts.
If we're talking about, yeah.
That's insane. That's and when did Frankel die?
Yeah, Frankel.
1975?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 77?
75. I think it's 75. The year Bohemian Rhapsody came out. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Do the other harmonies.
Don't caught in a land.
He's doing it! He jumped in!
No, don't think she's not going to do the whole thing.
Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need to carry on.
Sympathy, because it's easy come,
easy go. Little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me.
To me.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
Mama.
Just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Got to see in Freddy's cake. Damn. Mama, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, as if nothing really mattered.
Do, told you do, she do, would do the whole
do,
other
do,
thing.
Do,
yeah.
Do, 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 do. Too late, my time has come. Send shivers down my spine. Body's aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody. Let's do the intonation from Live Aid. I got to go. Gotta leave you all behind and face the truth. Dun, 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 dun. Mama, ooh, the way the wind blows. I don't want to die. I sometimes wish I'd never been born at all. I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening.
Galileo,
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 Galileo, Figaro Magnifico.
Oh,
there's a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family.
Saves life from this monstrosity. Do 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 do. Easy come, easy go, will you let me go? Bismillah, no, we will not let you go, let you go. Bismillah, we will not let you go, let you go. Bismillah, we will not let him go, let you go. Let me go.
No, 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 no,
no. Mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has the devil put aside for me, for me, for me. Do, 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 do
Also, the first series of Fawlty Towers came.
Your harmonies were a little off in the middle.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, you just sprung it on me. I didn't have time to warm up.
You should always be prepared.
Thanks for listening, thanks for watching.
If you weren't watching that, then you can at our Patreon, patreon.com/MrOnTheRocks. Why not sign up for that?
Bye!
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.